Life Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. Every month, contributor Gene Creighton joins us to talk about things astronomical. This month, the subject is black holes, and she explains why.
I was struck by the fact that two people within 12 hours asked me the same question. So I thought, right, of course. People are intrigued by black holes. They want to know what they are, how they work. But on the other hand, they also seem to be, don't break the myth for me. I love this little bubble I'm living with. Don't give me too much information. But I think black holes for real are really interesting.
So before we get to the interesting real part of it, though, what's the myth that people seem to have about black holes?
Well, first of all, they imagine that there are hoovers in the sky that kind of come through and clean up everything.
Right. Don't get too close because you'll get sucked in.
Well, you don't want to get too close. That's true. But they influence a very small portion of space around them. You know, some people think that the supermassive black hole in the center of the Milky Way is basically the dominating force for the whole galaxy, which is ridiculous. I mean, that is a fairly small fraction of mass, very small amount of volume of the total galaxy. It influences a very small region nearby. So we are 40,000 light years away from the center of our galaxy. This black hole is of no consequence to us. And also the idea that black holes must have a tremendous amount of mass in them.
They're super dense.
That's right.
Right.
A lot of the black hole models that are being analyzed and understood in detail are vacuums. There's no mass required. So although it's true that mass can bend space-time, so you've seen the picture where, you know, they take a heavy ball and they put it on some fabric and the fabric yields. And then if you take a little ball and you give it some initial speed in the vicinity of that bigger ball, it's going to follow the curvature of that indentation, if you will.
And eventually go in.
Over time, yes, yeah. Yes. Unless it was going super, super fast, in which case it might just zip through and carry on. People know that, and people hear about, you know, stars collapsing and a lot of that mass getting into a very small volume. And people assume that you must have mass to see that curvature. But in fact, you don't. It is also true that the more mass you have, the more curvature you're going to find. But as I said, you don't need mass. A vacuum can curve space-time.
That's pretty cool.
I think so.
Yeah, I would never have thought that. But it kind of, in my very non-scientific brain, it kind of makes sense that the absence would do it as well as the presence.
I like that. That is a good picture. Good. I wanted to talk a little bit about how we know that black holes exist because, you know, there's all the beautiful science fiction imagery. But of course, we do have also data, and there's new kinds of data in the last 10 years or so that's coming up. So a couple of pieces of data that we've had for some time now. The first is, if you look at the center of the Milky Way, we have this beautiful capability of looking at individual stars almost exactly at the center of our galaxy. Now, if I could, I would jump up and down and express my enthusiasm of what an exquisite measurement this is, that we've been able to resolve individual stars. We've been following them for 20 years, and we see these stars go wee. They zip around that black hole. So the math is simple. You can figure out what kind of gravitational field would you need to get those suckers moving as fast as they are. And you need something like almost 4 million times the mass of the sun. We call these supermassive black holes. I realize that astronomers might be accused of loving the word super X too much, but it's true. These are millions of times heavier than the sun, as opposed to the garden variety black hole, which would be on the order of one mass of the sun. So these are different kinds of beasts. And we think that based on other observations, we suspect that pretty much all large galaxies have these supermassive black holes in the center. So I should put in a plug that we're looking with various kinds of instruments to see two of these supermassive black holes merge and send ripples through space-time. We've called these gravitational waves, and of course we've talked about them before. The other observation that's been around for some time, 20 years now, are what we call X-ray binaries. So if you have a garden variety black hole, and it started from a star that was massive, 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 it zipped through its life, it made a black hole, and its companion is still going around. That companion, if it's close enough, it's going to get some of its material over time pulled, 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 and destroyed eventually.
Okay. That's kind of the idea of it getting sucked into the black hole bit by bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what makes it an X-ray is that there's no way all that material can zip into the black hole as quickly as it comes off a star. There's a waiting list. So we call it an accretion disk, and material starts hovering around the black hole, patiently waiting for its turn. But the tidal forces it experiences are really strong. So these things can be a million degrees hot. They emit X-rays. So you get to see these strong X-rays around, quote, nothing. And you're stuck because X-rays are not easy to produce in nature. So it usually involves something pretty dramatic, pretty extreme. So we found many X-ray binaries. So those are the two. So the motion of stars around supermassive black holes and the X-rays that we see from really hot material that gets drawn toward the black hole. Those have been there for some time. Are you still with me?
I am.
Excellent. Now, new things that have been happening are what we call transients. So we have now telescopes that take all sky surveys, you know, a few times a night or close to that. They can see every little change that takes place. And some of those changes could be as simple as, oh, yeah, an asteroid came through. Or it could be, oh, yeah, that galaxy had a supernova go off. But one of the things we find is a phenomenon where a star goes close to a supermassive black hole, and we literally see the star pulled apart. And this is something that takes place over human scales. You can study the whole thing from beginning to end. So we're learning not only about the nature of the black hole, but we're also learning about the chemistry of the star and the details of the shockwaves. I mean, literally, all the physics that goes in this interaction.
That just gave me goosebumps.
Isn't that awesome?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And we can see it in human scale time.
That's right. It's not because obviously, you know, two galaxies, eventually their two black holes are going to merge, but that's going to take much longer than any individual, even maybe species, never mind astronomer. Whereas these are events that can happen on the scale of maybe months, maybe years, but you can see it all.
How cool that we can see it, because we're likely never going to get too close, or maybe we will at some point, but as you said, you don't want to get too close.
You don't
want
to get too close to a black hole, no.
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 Is it true what they say in science fiction, when you get too close to a black hole, that time stretches and changes?
True, but that's not your real problem. Your real problem is that you get pulled in different directions because of the tidal forces. So the thing that's happening to the star would happen to you. So,
okay.
You know, kids are always excited about, you know, have we sent people to black holes? And I try not to shut them down too much. But
right.
The fact of the matter is that we are so not even close to being able to, even if we wanted to. But of course, sensible people wouldn't want to.
Right. I'd like to keep all my parts in one place.
Yes.
Well, we'll just have to watch stars.
Yes.
You know, undergo that fate. let the stars do it, and we'll just watch. It's like, you know, get your popcorn and watch the universe change.
Isn't it amazing?
Dr. Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium on the campus of UW-Milwaukee, and she is our regular astronomy contributor.